Hello, bonjour, and marhaba. Welcome to episode 4. Today we plan to talk about the breeding process, and I'm very excited because we put the level very high in our last episode, but we will give our best for this show. As always, I'm supported by my best friend and right wing Flap Flap. Hello, Flap Flap.
Hey, Mr. Smiggles. As always, it's a great pleasure to be here with you and learn more about the true kings of the jungle, the pigeons.
Yeah, we are so sorry if you had to wait a little bit longer for this episode, but we both still have our normal lives, even if we are podcasters now. We also had some stress during the racing season, and if the days are getting longer in summer, we love it to be outside, and yeah, We were too busy, to be honest.
Nevertheless, we are pleased to be here for you again today and to be able to delight you with another exciting topic on pigeons.
Oh yeah. If you have already listened to our shows, you should know that we try to split our topics into different parts and we start from scratch so everybody can follow us. And I do still hope that we both can convince somebody to start keeping pigeons in future.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Everyone knows, only a man with a pigeon is a true man. Today's topic deals with the breeding process of pigeons. The topic is certainly also very exciting because a lot of money can be made in this field.
Yes, but I think the chance is bigger to spend a lot of money instead of earning money.
Okay, tell me, Smick, how did you arrange today's episode?
Let us talk first about the materials and space in the loft you need before breeding. Then we can talk about the preparations before we will have a look at the last part, starting from the egg until the chicks are leaving their nests.
But stop, Smick. Tell me first, why do you want to breed pigeons, or why do people want to breed pigeons?
That's a good question, Flip.
Thank you.
I think every breeder has a certain pigeon in his head with exactly those characteristics and those physical features which are considered to be particularly good and important. Mm-hmm. You try to build your own strain. Whether the pigeon performs, of course, depends on itself. But the aim of the breeder is, of course, to get the biologically optimal out of the pigeon and to optimize or maintain it with breeding.
Okay, I see.
Before we can start breeding pigeons, we must first check whether we have all the material we need. We need to make sure we have enough feed. For breeding, we ideally use specially designed breeding feed.
If I can mention something at this point, I would like to refer to our previous podcast with Alfred from Rhönfried. Yeah. Who was able to give us a lot of exciting input on the topic of nutrition.
Good input. Thanks, Flap. So, if you want to know what kind of nutrition the pigeons need to have during the breeding, check our previous podcast, episode 3, The Optimal Care for Raising Pigeons. We further need nests with nesting pads. There are extra nesting trays for pigeons here.
Is there anything special to note about these nests?
You can choose between different materials, clay, plastic, wood, and so on. It depends on what you prefer. Plastic is easy to clean, clay is more natural, and wood is consistent but hard to clean.
I see.
Yes, it's all about you and your experiences. For each breeding pair, we need a feeding bowl, and if the pigeon pairs are kept individually in breeding compartments, then one drinker is needed for each. Otherwise, one drinker is enough for all. However, I would offer food individually and to avoid unnecessary fights over food as far as possible and to make it easier for the future parents to feed their chicks.
At home, we call these fights foreplay.
Really? Do you fight with your neighbors before you make some love?
Sometimes.
So, anyway, as we heard from Alfred Berger in our last episode, pigeons need minerals, not only for the formation of eggshells, but do you still remember, Flap?
Yes, I think I do, Smick. The young pigeons also need a lot of minerals to build up the bone system. That's right.
Very good, Flap. Yeah. If you had paid attention so well in school, you wouldn't have to earn your money with badly paid podcasts now.
Oh, we get paid for this show?
No, unfortunately not. But we are, of course, open to donations of all kinds.
Yeah. At least I'm now a little richer in knowledge. Mm-hmm. Back to our topic. What do we need more?
All right. In the preparation for breeding, a focus should be placed on the vitamin E supply.
Oh, I remember. Alfred specifically mentioned this vitamin.
Exactly. To make the young pigeon more comfortable after weaning, you can get straw. It can also be offered to the breeding pigeons to build a nest. All these natural processes of the animals encourage their instincts and get the pigeons in the mood, you know. Besides, it is always worth a joke when somebody asks why there is straw lying around.
At least our listeners now know how Smick spends his TV evenings. If not, feel free to Google it. I'm sure that a good dose of Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On won't hurt either, so that the pigeons will have a good time, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, Flap. But I've never tried it before. Maybe we should really check it once if we can influence the pigeons' mood in putting on some nice sound.
Let's try it out.
Yeah, why not? Another point in this topic that comes to my mind is the light. If you don't use daylight or want to breed during winter, you need to install a light and you need to do the installation before you want to start. Mm-hmm. We should not disturb the whole process as good as possible.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Then we need to organize some rings in advance. We already talked about in an older episode. You can order some rings, some official rings from your association by checking their website first or get in contact with some members. If you would like to fly in a club, you need to have some official rings. Mm-hmm. That's what we talked about. I think it was episode 1, I'm not sure. Think about that. The delivery of the rings will take some time until they arrive. If the rings arrive, you will get some paper cards for each ring. These cards you will need to put on the pedigree paper. If you give a pigeon to its new owner, if you sell a pigeon or if you give it as a gift to somebody, it doesn't matter. You are just the owner of a pigeon if you have its pedigree with the ring card on it.
Ah, okay. I see.
Okay. After we have organized all the necessary material for the pigeon breeding, we can start with the preparations.
What preparations?
We have to find out which pigeons we want to mate together. Normally, you already know a little bit which pairs you want to have together because of their pedigree or also because you are curious about the colors that will appear in the youngsters. Nevertheless, I would also recommend paying attention to some external characteristics.
But what characteristics are we talking about exactly?
If we keep everything simple, we can say that two big pigeons almost always make big pigeons. Two small pigeons almost always result in small pigeons. And if both parents have long legs, their youngsters will almost certainly also have long legs. Here, you try to find a healthy middle.
Okay, so I have hair in my crack, as you know. Does that mean that my father and my mother both had hair there too?
Of course not, Flap. I'm sure your mother has a lovely bottom. Maybe I should mention that there are dominant and recessive traits in pigeon breeding, just like in humans. In pigeons, for example, feathered legs are dominant over unfeathered legs. A ruff is dominant over normal plumage. The color red is also dominant over the color blue. But I don't want to get into genetics anymore now. There is a lot of information on the internet, and it's too deep for us here right now.
Yeah, and I think we've talked enough about my mother's bottom for now. What else can we look out for?
When checking tail feathers, you can check whether the quill of the uppermost feather is centered or not when the tail is closed. Don't panic if it's not central, but it would be an advantage if the partner has the quill on the other side to compensate. You can note the sight of the quill on each pigeon, then see which pairs would fit.
Wow, this is very exciting. Does that mean that the animal's characteristics can also complement each other?
I would say life finds a way.
Oh, he said it! He said it!
Furthermore, some breeders consider the eyes to be an important feature. Here, however, opinions differ. Some think it's a humbug, others swear by the eyes. I must say, I have rarely seen a performance pigeon with bad eyes.
Okay, but what are good eyes?
It is about the structures in the eye. If the eye are deeply furrowed, it is a good sign. Then there are signs of long distance and signs of speed. I don't know the details. I'm sure there's some information in the internet. Mm-hmm. As I said, this is not proven, but there are theories about it which are really interesting. And as a pigeon breeder, you have to see this.
Okay. Yeah, I know people who claim to recognize people's qualities in their eyes, and they're also often right.
Who knows? I think that there could well be something true in it.
Maybe.
Then we certainly always take a look at the pedigree. What breeder wouldn't want to have a pedigree full of ace pigeons? There is a saying that aces fall from aces. There's certainly some truth in this, but on the other hand, you cannot look into the brain of the pigeons, and therefore, in the end, only one's own performance counts. Nevertheless, we take a close look at the pedigree of the pigeons. What have their parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents achieved? From which breeders do the pigeons descend? What have the breeders already achieved? Are there direct brothers or sisters with good performances? All these are factors that are considered in a pedigree.
It's incredibly impressive which factors can play an important role in breeding pigeons. I understand very well that you can get a kick out of it.
Nothing should stop you from starting. I have already described what you need in our previous podcast.
Yeah, I remember.
There is also a great video on YouTube by the IRCOMS where Evert Jan describes the most important features of the homing pigeon's body.
And for all this knowledge, I'm really very grateful to you. What else do I need to know about the breeding process, Zmik?
We are still in the preparation stage. We now want to mate our pigeons. There are different loft systems and methods for this. If you have space, you can keep all pairs individually. Cross-fertilization, where foreign pigeons pair with other pigeons, is therefore impossible. This is different with an open breeding loft with individual cells. If the pigeon pairs are not really close together, cross-fertilization can occur. We can reduce the risk of cross-fertilization by taking our time in preparing and acclimatizing the pairs in the loft.
I understand. Cross-fertilization could, of course, have a very strong influence on the quality of our breeding process. Would pigeons mate with all kinds of pigeons at all?
Pigeons are basically monogamous and can have the same partner throughout their lives. So that the pairs can get used to each other, they can be placed in the breeding loft individually in pairs. All other cells are closed except the one intended for this pair. If the female or the bird has been in our breeding for some time and already has a cell, then this pair should also take the same cell again. We must prevent fights in the breeding loft as much as possible. For this purpose, all pigeons must be cell-proof. When one pair has taken the cell, we can put the next pair into the loft. We take the first pair out again so that the new pair can take their cell in peace. Do not forget to close all the cells except the one for this pair. Mm-hmm. Once all the pigeons are used to their cells and also to their partners, we can put all the pigeons in the breeding loft and start breeding.
Oh, I and the audience have again received a lot of information from you, Smik. Is there anything else you need to share with us?
In fact, there is one more point I would like to make to all future breeders. Mm-hmm. Please do not start breeding if your pigeons are not immaculately healthy. Mm-hmm. Everything else makes no sense and you will only disappoint yourself and breed a bunch of rejects. Mm-hmm. This also always casts a bad light on pigeon fanciers. We don't want this. This is a disgrace and must be avoided at all costs. No top pigeons can be bred from a sick pigeons. Forget that.
Yeah, I see. I understand this, yeah. I know you still have some information for us about the eggs and the chicks. What can you share with mm-hmm. us about that?
Flap, I have hours of information for you. It takes about 6 to 7 days until the first egg is in the nest after you mate pigeons. The second egg should be in the nest the following day. From then on, it is about 18 days in which the female and the male will take care of the incubation of the eggs in shifts mm-hmm. before the babies hatch. During this time, newcomers in particular will be amazed at how big the pigeon's poop suddenly becomes. This is due to fact that they do not poop all over the nest. They leave that to the young ones and uh-huh. do their big business, because it's really big, only after the shift. But don't worry, if the pigeons are healthy, this poop is also quite easy to dispose
yeah.
of.
Yeah, as we learned in a previous podcast.
Exactly, right. After 4 to 5 days after laying the second egg, you can check whether they are fertilized. However, care must be taken when doing this. There are mm-hmm. 2 points to be aware of. As mentioned earlier, the parents work in shifts. The eggs are always incubated mm-hmm. and therefore protected by one parent. Mm-hmm. To get the eggs out from under the pigeon, you can carefully reach under the pigeon with a flat hand and lift it very slightly with the back of your hand. Uh-huh. The incubating parent will certainly not enjoy this and will peck and flap its wings. Uh-huh. You must be careful not to damage the eggs. If you hold the eggs in your hand, you must also be careful. Holding mm-hmm. 2 eggs in one hand requires a certain amount of practice. Oh, man. Sometimes you're so childish. Anyway, if they clash too hard, they can break.
Okay, sorry, I mean.
Yeah, yeah, otherwise, take out 1 egg at a time. Now we take a... now we take a flashlight.
Sorry. Sorry, I'm really childish at the moment. So now we take a flashlight and then go on.
Oh man, we should come down and be more serious. Okay. We have now 1 egg in.
Yeah. What are we going to do with the flashlight?
So we want to check with the flashlight if an egg is fertilized or not. Uh-huh. The best one for the flashlight is an LED flashlight. This is the second point I wanted to tell you. Other flashlights can cause damage to the growing chick in the egg with their heat development and are therefore not recommended.
Okay, so a normal LED will do it, or does it have to be a special LED light?
A normal LED light will normally do fine. If the eggs are fertilized, you can see fine veins which then appear orange, reddish. Unfertilized eggs appear white under the flashlight with a yellow dot, the egg yolk in the center. Mm-hmm. There are great photos on the internet, and once you have seen them, everything is clear.
Rule 35. Well, no, it's 34.
Well, I really hope not. But most likely, yes.
Okay. Okay.
What I also wanted to share, there are sometimes parents who take better care of their offspring than others. At some point, you know which couple have always taken excellent care of their young, but maybe the couple is not necessarily the best in the blow. Here we can use a relaying method. We take the eggs from the best pair in terms of performance and place them with the pair that we know are great parents.
But it
is important that at the same time, the good parents also start the whole process with courtship, egg laying and incubation. They have to get in the mood, you know?
Yes, of course. I totally understand you. Like a priest in a scout camp.
But I'm almost like that, yes. The performance pair without X will now start again from the beginning if you put the X away from them. And we can draw several rounds of a pair in a shorter time. You realize perhaps it's not completely natural and should of course not be exaggerated. I do not want to damage the pigeons, but so 3 to 4 rounds of young pigeons pull from the breeding is usual in the pigeon world, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now you can calculate what is being reared per year. Let's say you have a small breeding loft with only five pairs.
Uh-huh.
That's 10 pigeons per pair, and per round you get 2 chicks. Uh-huh. So after one round, we have 10 young with 5 pairs times 4. If we draw 4 rounds, then we have 40 young pigeons.
Whoa.
Does one need somewhere place for 40 young pigeons?
Oh, yes.
This calculation should always be kept in mind.
Yeah, I see, understand, yeah.
To the transfer of the eggs, I must still say, if one practices, this is... It is very important to write down everything exactly. It is then very quickly no longer traceable which eggs were pushed under which pair, so that we can later fill out the pedigrees of the pigeons correctly. We note each transfer, ringing, and so on.
Okay, I think that everyone who breeds pigeons professionally is aware that such things must be accurately recorded.
Absolutely, yes. Because if you imagine you get a super pigeon, you really want to know who the parents are to try to breed next year again. The ringing of the young pigeons happens approximately between the 5th and the 9th day after hatching. However, you must always keep an eye on the pigeons. There are also times larger or smaller specimens with which the ringing can shift one or more days forward or backward. Mm-hmm. If one is too early with the ringing of the pigeons, it can happen that the young animal strips the ring in the nest unnoticed again. If you ring too late, it is impossible to put a ring on the pigeon. It succeeds sometimes, only if one is scarcely too late, with something soap or so. These actions harm them, however, rather times the animal. You have to be simply always on it and constantly control the nests.
Oh, you speak of the ring that the doves have on their feet.
Yeah.
Can you tell me something else exciting about that?
Since you ask so kindly, yes. The ring itself is tightened in reverse. When the pigeon later stands normally, the number of the ring are upside down. This is because the pigeon is usually held in the hands so that the feet look away from us and thus the ring can be read the right way around. To put the ring on, take the 3 front toes, pull them together through the ring, and then you stretch the leg, pull the ring a little higher so that the back toe is visible. This can now be pulled out of the ring with something pointed like a feather wedge. You have feathers anyway. what am I telling here? There are many videos on the net that describe this process.
Oh, okay.
whether one rings the pigeon on the right or on the left plays on the whole no role. With me, it is so that I like to have order, and thus all pigeons try to ring right. I say consciously try. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It certainly happens that in the heat of the moment, the wrong leg is selected, or that the ring is not on the head. But yes, the main thing is that the ring is on.
Okay. I really didn't expect so much input on the subject of ringing.
Ringing.
I admire your almost infinite knowledge in this area.
Oh, Flap, if you study a subject long enough, even you will be as well versed in it as I am. I believe in you. Now, I'll tell you two things about the young pigeons, if you agree.
Of course, I would be very happy about that.
Excellent. The young pigeons grow larger and larger at lightning speed and develop feathers. When the bird begins to drive the female back to the nest, the parents, you know, it is time to pack a second nest in the cell. There are, for this purpose, in some cells, like two different floors. In the lower one, we have now our young pigeons sitting in a nest bowl, mm-hmm. and above, a second empty nest bowl, where the female can lay her next eggs. Mm-hmm. The second round can begin. The older young are weaned as soon as they are fully feathered. It usually takes them the longest under their wings for the feathers to cover everything, but that is the moment we wait for.
Mm-hmm.
Once the young are feathered under their wings, we take them out. Mm-hmm. Now they come with all the chicks from this round in a young pigeon loft. We have already discussed what this involves, so we will leave that out now. Mm-hmm. But we have to keep in mind that the young pigeons do not find the water by themselves yet. Mm-hmm. To do this, we take one at a time and dip their beak into the water several times a day. A young pigeon uh-huh. closes its eyes again and again as an indicator that he's thirsty. You will get into it. Thus, we can select later by picking just the chicks that are still closing their eyes. Mm-hmm. So, closing eyes, it is more like blinking slowly or sluggishly.
Okay.
The weaned young pigeons will now begin to exercise their muscles by repeatedly flapping their wings uh-huh. while standing on the ground. They will stretch and gradually take up perches in higher regions of the loft. Mm-hmm. In addition, during this time, the young pigeons begin to memorize their home loft. So if you want to give away young pigeons, you should do it in time. It is best to do it as soon as you are sure that the young pigeon will eat and drink by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Then do not forget the vaccination. Check the law in your region for that.
Mm-hmm. As we heard, yes. Yeah.
Yes. And as soon as we finish the breeding, we separate the birds from the females again and clean the breeding loft thoroughly mm-hmm. so that it's ready again for the next breeding season. And our new generation of youngsters start to fly, and we let them more and more out of the loft. But I think we don't look at this in detail now. Mm. It depends the training of the young pigeons. Maybe we can talk about in a later episode
okay.
or so.
Why not? Yeah. Smig, you said that you write all the pairings and ring numbers down. What do you do with the breeding sheet then?
That depends on which software you use to manage the pedigrees. There are programs where this is integrated and others where it is not. If it's not integrated, it is recommended that to store the pedigrees in a folder. Mm-hmm. So that you can always access them. I only create a pedigree, as mentioned above, when I sell or give away a pigeon or give it to a one loft race.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can create and print the pedigree in the program using the breed sheet.
But how do you do that exactly? Is there any special software for this?
This is a somewhat longer story.
I have time.
Okay, so then I was unsatisfied with the handling and the pedigree designs that all the tools I knew had. In mm-hmm. addition, my father's software was only usable offline, So I started to develop my own tool.
You did?
The so-called web breeder, yes.
Nice name.
It's a website where I can manage my whole pigeon pedigree and where I can download my own design pedigrees as PDF.
Really?
Yeah, with this web solution, I also have the possibility to display my whole breeding. I can define breeding pairs, and as soon as I ring their young pigeons, I can enter the ring number there. Later, as soon as I need the pedigree of this young pigeon, I have the possibility to assign it to a loft or to a group. Ring number, year, parents, and the fancier information are all already filled in. And so I have a new pedigree generated with just a few clicks.
Wow.
Then there are other numerous features which my web breeder brings with it. Be it the recording of performance data for each individual pigeon, or even a picture of the pigeon with ring number and name for an Instagram story, and it's exactly adapted to the size that Instagram uses for their stories.
Nice.
There is also a module to manage customers, breeders, or other contacts, and want to create offers, delivery notes, and invoices. In addition, I have integrated the ability to customize the content of my website. Well, not the whole content, but I can choose which pigeon it should display on the website. Also, I can manage the translations of the website, or I can add one more. I'm constantly developing it further and have already had the thoughts to offer this tool for the broader masses through one or the other request. Let's see what the future will bring.
Oh, I hope best for you.
There are already online tools, but none that covers my needs to for 100%. I do not want to advertise my tool here. That would not be my goal. Rather, I would like to point out that in the world of racing pigeons, on a technical level, there is still much more potential. Be it with pedigree management programs or also with time measurements, there are a lot of possibilities.
It's crazy. I'm very impressed. Is there anything you can do or don't do, man? It's really an honor to make this show with you, with such a talented and versatile guy like you.
You flatter me once again, Flap. Of course, there are some things I can't do. Skateboarding is one of them, for example. And sitting quiet is another one, maybe. So we have come to the end of this show.
Oh.
It would be great if you follow us on Instagram, leave a comment, ask a question or whatever you want. If you have some questions, that's a good point, about pigeons, not other questions, just about pigeons. Please let us know, and we would like to answer them in our next episode. And as always, I would like to thank our listeners. Thank you, Flap. And thank you very much for listening. Like always, you want to say some last words, Flap?
Yes. As my grandfather always told me, a day you learned something about pigeons is a day you learned something that makes you special.
Yeah, absolutely. So then, goodbye, au revoir, and yalla bye.